The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everyone, this is Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Jake Runyon.
And by our powers combined, we are the Canned Air Podcast. But right now, you're listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 240. Thank you very much for tuning in. I do appreciate it. But I'm going to break kayfabe, so to speak, a little bit with this introduction. Normally, when I do one of these introductions, I have a little post-it note with some bullet points just to remind me to mention this or say that. And I don't have a post-it note. I'm kind of winging it this time around for this intro because I think that I have reached my limit when it comes to bad news. 2020 is the shittiest year I can ever remember. And that point was driven home even more so this past weekend when certain pro wrestling individuals were called out for their inappropriate behavior over the years in what was called the hashtag speaking out movement. And that's just kind of a short and sweet summary of what was happening in the world of pro wrestling. But that just made me feel like that's it. I can't take any more bad news. And so I guess the point of this monologue is twofold. Number one, I'm going to go back to what I said a few weeks ago on this podcast. We must be better at how we treat people. There's no ifs, ands, or perhapses about it. We must do a better job of how we treat people, no matter their race, no matter their gender, no matter their religion, no matter what. But the second point to this monologue is that I'm glad that I have podcasting because it gives me an opportunity to quote unquote escape from what's happening around me, to be creative, to uplift my spirits. Because as I told my guest when we were off air, I really was absolutely down in the dumps last Friday when we recorded this episode. And it helped to bring me up and so I guess I'm going to encourage anybody that was feeling like I was this past weekend. If you feel like you've had your fill of bad news and it's really starting to bother you, like it was me, you know, find a creative outlet. Find an outlet to maybe distract yourself for a while, because it really did do wonders for me. And I mean, I'm no expert, but, you know, if you're an artist, go and paint or put a puzzle together or podcast or take a walk or immerse yourself in a favorite television show or do something, because I mean, just it seems like the bad news is never going to stop in 2020. I mean, it seems that way, but you got to be optimistic and say that things are going to get better. And yeah, so that's just my purpose for doing this little impromptu diatribe on the introduction to this episode. Because I don't know, like I said, if you were feeling like me, I empathize. I understand. Well, let's talk about my guest for episode 240. The gentleman's name is Joe Urban, and he is the owner and label manager for Take This to Heart Records. And it was because of Joe that I got the opportunity a few weeks ago to chat with Columbus Rockers Snarls. So I extended the invite to Joe to come on and talk about owning an independent record label, about his career in a band, about music, about the bands that he discovers, and all of the things related to the world of music. So it's a very eye-opening episode, because if you're someone like me that likes music, but you don't really know what goes on behind the scenes, this is going to be a good one for you. So before we get to my conversation with Joe, I need to let you know real quickly about the great sponsor of the PVDcast. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they have comics, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, basically anything you want for your geekdom, they have. And they have a special event planned for this Saturday, June 27th. From noon to 3, Daryl Banks, that's right, the man that helped co-create Kyle Rayner of the Green Lantern universe, is going to be stopping by the store to sign some books, to do some commissions, to hang out with his fans, and you should come on out too. Now, if you need some more information about that appearance or just about the store in general, you can look them up online. WGComics.com is their website, and they're even over on Facebook. Just search for at WG Comics. And let me remind you that you can hear the PVDcast every Monday night at 9:30 through Redline Radio. All you have to do is go to RedlineRadioLLC.com to hear the show, or visit their Facebook page, Redline Radio LLC. Or if you're an Android phone user, then you can go to the Google Play Store, download the Redline Radio LLC app, and you can take the station with you wherever you go. So you can hear all of the great shows like the PVDcast, like The Scoop, like the Hot Tag Wrestle Corner, What's Your Opinion, the Canned Air Podcast, Dueling Aces. There's just so many great shows and so many great tunes on the station that you will not regret downloading that app. And if you're like me and you're an Apple iPhone person, don't worry. The app for that particular phone is coming very, very soon. With that out of the way, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'm back to talk to Joe Urban from Take This to Heart Records. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the PVDcast. Joe Urban, the man that's behind Take This to Heart Records. Joe, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. You said it's a warm one in Massachusetts today.
Yeah, it's like 90, which is pretty hot for Massachusetts, I guess.
Yeah. Don't worry. Ohio will be there tomorrow. We're at 84 today, but we're supposed to get hot tomorrow, you know?
All right. You can catch the tail end of this heat wave.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as I mentioned, you're the owner and the label manager for Take This to Heart Records. The label was founded in 2012. So I'm going to ask probably the question that most people ask you. Why did you start a record label?
This was kind of by happenstance. I was working at a recording studio in Massachusetts. I wanted to get into managing bands because we were recording some local bands I thought were really great that needed, you know, a bigger push. And just by, you know, the fact that they needed a label, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to put this record out. And that's how I kind of started it. Just, I guess, by the need of some of like the local, like a couple of local bands around here that want to help out.
So what obstacles did you face while you're creating Take This to Heart Records? Cause I got to imagine that there was kind of probably a lot of hardships in that early few months, or maybe even the early few years of the label's existence.
Yeah, it definitely started out as I hate to say a hobby for the first, you know, maybe 3 years. You know, our catalog, we probably put out like 14 records in like the first 3.5-4 years, and then since then it's been really, you know, amped up. But it, you know, it's a lot of funding. It's a lot of trial and error. Bands break up. You know, we've had, you know, some unlucky bands. We've had just bands who couldn't tour, so it just hurts the process of building, you know, both the label and a band, and just really learning. You know, every day I'm still learning, you know, since then.
I read that in college you took like an entrepreneur type course or class, I don't know what you want to call it, but how important was that knowledge that you gained from that course or that class to the formation of the label?
I thought it was great, and actually I took the class, and they had like it was called the Harold Grinspoon Foundation, where if you you create this business, it'll give you like $1,000 to start it. And I won it in college, and they gave me like $1,000 to start kind of putting out the first, you know, couple records. of the band, at least in the CD form. We weren't at the vinyl stage yet, but it, you know, a lot of knowledge from the class, just a lot of ways to set expectations, really, in working, you know, working with bands, you kind of want to, you never want to overpromise, and an entrepreneurship class really taught you on everything that, you know, what's low end everything and high end costs, like low end expectations, high end costs, and try to wind up somewhere in the middle.
That's some really great advice for, I think, anybody out there, to be honest. I mean, no matter if you're doing a record label or you're a painter or whatever, Joe, I think that's really great, really, really solid advice.
It's just, you never want to, you always want things to overperform. Like any album or any band, you know, you kind of want to set a ceiling and a floor. And hopefully, like, if you can stay above that floor for every release, you're going to do good.
So is there a story behind the name of the label, Take This to Heart Records, or was it just, again, a happy accident?
It was kind of, I don't know where exactly it stems from. I know when we're starting, you know, starting to put it together and, you know, having typical like lunch conversations with friends, I want to say I said the phrase, you know, I want really people to take everything we do to heart and just care about it as much as I care about it. Cause that's kind of really what you're in the music industry for, is just, you know, doing something you love, working with people that you care about, and working with mostly, you know, music that you can get behind. That's my bridge story of that name.
That's a good one. I like that. So do you have a background in music? Like growing up, did you play in bands or?
Yeah, I played in bands. I played in, like, we were, you know, signed a couple labels. We did like the whole Warped Tour thing in 2006. Yeah, I did that. The band was, you know, middle of the road, maybe a little bit under middle of the road. You know, we did a few tours here and there for about, you know, 3 years. Didn't work out. Went to a studio, which is in Western Mass, Zing Studios. I started working there, managing kind of the place where, you know, we did a lot of metal records. We did, you know, all the Killswitch Engage records, All the Remains. We ended up doing like a Devil Wears Prada record, Under Oath record. Yeah, all in Western Mass. So I guess really by the luck of where I live, there are opportunities in music since I was, you know, I worked in a local record store for free, trading like shows with, like, you know, I was like 14, like, put me on a show and I'll work at your record store for the weekend, you know?
Yeah.
Like just like local promoters. They're just a really, really cool place to live and still is.
So this is just totally off the top of my head. You said that you toured for about 3 years. So a couple questions about touring. What's the best part of touring? What's the worst part of touring? Because there's got to be quite a bit on both sides of that question.
The worst part of touring for me is I was always the one to try to save money. And like, we're not doing hotels. We're sleeping in the van. Oh, you know, if we're waiting in the parking lot to set up or something, like, don't run the AC. I was just the asshole to just the band to kind of really, like, hey, you know, we're trying to do this, you know, 30, 40 day tour. And on day one, I'm like, it's just every penny's going to count, guys. Like, here you go. Like, here's your MapQuest. Like, we would print out MapQuest directions in like 2006. And it would just be, you know, every place we need to go, when we need to leave. Just the organization. But I mean, the best part is playing and, you know, being in a different city and finding, you know, and just being surprised when people know your band. When you're, you know, we would go to, you know, Florida and be like, all right, well, 10 people in Florida know who we are. This is better than expected. And, you know, you're on your, you know, first or second tour and you're just building an audience.
You mentioned the band's Warped Tour. Did you get any advice from some of those big name acts, so to speak, if you will?
There were a lot of nice people. Everyone was nice. Like, we did it with, like, I think Thursday and Rise Against were on it in 2006. It was, you know, there's a lot of new bands. I think All Time Low was on it in, like, a small stage. That might have been 2005. But just lots of bands just really working it. And, you know, we were one of the bands that you wake up early, you work the lines with a CD player, and try to get people to listen to it, or, like, you know, you're walking around, like, postering where your set time is. It was really just, you know, every tour and every situation, can be as good or as bad as you make it. If you're just going to be a band that's just going to go and play and not even be at your merch booth, it's probably not going to work out for you.
Final question about touring, and you don't have to say anything incriminating or anything. Do you have any crazy road stories?
Crazy road stories. I'm trying to think that nothing super
Motley Crue like, huh? Nothing off the rails.
I remember our drummer Allie. What I think we went like, I think he had to go like reverse on the George Washington Bridge to like an exit and just like pull like a 360 thing in the van one time. And that was, I think I was sleeping and I just heard the story. And I think I still hear the story whenever I see him. He just pulled this insane driving move to, you know, for an exit to save like 40 minutes of a drive. It's really kind of that, you know, it's mostly, we slept in the van. I slept on top of the van in parking lots. I remember we did Warped Tour like a couple dates in like 2003 or something, like locally. And I think I have a photo somewhere. We're just in like one of our mom's minivans. You know, we're like 17 years old, parking next to like, you know, 40 tour buses. And we're just like, we're the band, you know, we're going to park here. And it's just us in a minivan next to like 40 buses. That was always interesting.
And you probably looked at that tour bus and go, one day, man, one day.
No, I mean, I think I was a little more realistic.
Okay.
That I appreciate that. Like the people who get that stuff, they, most of them, if not all of them, work really, really hard to do it. And, you know, I see like, you know, a lot of teams that say the cost of those things really weighs out, like the having, you know, not having to drive every band being able to sleep at night. It's like on a tour like that, you know, a lot of the bands need it.
So since we're talking about touring, probably the number one way that bands get noticed is through their live shows. So do you attend a lot of shows or do you kind of break it up among you and your staff? Because I imagine you have probably a really solid staff helping you out with Take This to Heart Records.
Oh, we have a couple people. I mean, as far as A&R and signing band, it's mostly just me or James is turned me on to bands. And a lot of them are actually from Ohio. And that stems from teaming up with Bravo artists. And we've done this summer festival called Summer Bummer for the past 3 years. None this year because of COVID. But, you know, we signed the Sonderbombs from them playing the festival for us. We signed Snarls from playing the Summer Bummer Festival and just seeing them play and just hearing the music and getting to meet everybody. You know, I like, if I can see a band, you know, you just know what you're in for. I have signed bands without seeing them just from, you know, other bands saying, this band's awesome, check them out, watch some live videos, get to know them. But I try to get out to as many shows as I can, especially in Boston. It's about like an hour away, so I can usually make the trek if it's not like a real late show.
Well, one thing you mentioned the fact that the tour, Summer Bummer tour show, was not happening because of COVID. Can I ask, how has COVID impacted Take This to Heart Records?
I mean, everything's down.
Yeah.
But we're issuing a lot of either back catalog stuff on vinyl. We're doing like smaller. We just released a split between the Snarls and Sonderbombs. We're ending up donating a good amount to charity through all this. It's just, I guess the main thing is, you know, try to keep active, really let, especially with the Black Lives Matter movement, we want to, you know, let our platform and our voice be heard and support mm-hmm. the people that need supporting.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as touring, it's tough. I mean, we've had tours like, it's rescheduled for July. Oh, just kidding. It's coming in November. So, you know, some of our bigger bands that have these tours, that we have tours that aren't, that, you know, weren't announced, that keep on getting moved back, and some might be 2021. You know, it's just everyone's flying by the seat of their pants, and I don't envy the agents that work on these tours and the promoters that have to move everything and remove everything for, you know, countless artists just to hopefully have, when it's, you know, air quotes, okay to tour.
So you mentioned you're doing a lot of pressing of vinyl, especially with the back catalog. If I may ask, when did you start doing vinyl? Because I know originally, just a little while ago, you said that when you started, it was all CDs. So how long have you been doing vinyl?
We did vinyl, probably the first one, like it was our fifth release. And we did like a 12-inch EP. And we went through like a small phase of doing like everything on vinyl. I think like the next four releases, like, oh, you know, we need to have vinyl. There's a demand for it. But at the time, we didn't have a distributor, so it was really hard to get. If a band's not touring, it's hard to sell vinyl for a new band. Mm-hmm. So we definitely pressed too much, dialed it back a little bit, worked on, you know, doing CDs, or just worked on actually building the band as opposed to fulfilling the vinyl need of a band, which, you know, sometimes you just don't need it right away. I don't think so. We have success a lot of times where we're doing, you know, we'll do either cassettes or CD and digital, and, you know, do a couple shirts and kind of just build the band through the music and through promotion and through touring. We learned pretty quickly that you don't need to spend the vinyl stuff right off the bat if there's not a demand for it. And even if you're, you know, even if you're, especially if you're a new band, you don't need vinyl right away. You can kind of wait on it and just see where your fans are coming from. They're either listening to it through streaming, through Bandcamp is a great tool, and mostly, you know, through touring and through social media, just a lot of people understanding the personality of the band to fit with their music. And, you know, the interaction is really high on like a Twitter platform or Instagram.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Joe for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. It's the one-stop shop for all of your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, back issues, posters, comic book supplies, basically anything you need for your fandom, they got it. And if you need some extra motivation to visit the store at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, let me tell you that this Saturday, June 27th from noon to 3, Green Lantern artist Daryl Banks is going to be at World's Greatest Comics, signing books, hanging out with folks, doing commissions, so you don't want to miss it. If you need more information about the store, just go over to wgcomics.com, that's their website, and look them up on Facebook as well. Just look for at WG Comics, and you can get all the details for this Saturday's appearance of Daryl Banks, or for any other questions you might have. And just do me one favor, no matter how you interact with the folks at World's Greatest Comics, let them know that you heard about the store from me, right here on the PVD cast. So what's the overall goal for Take This to Heart Records? I imagine that you have some ideas of how you'd like to see the label, you know, grow and prosper and whatnot. So what's the overall goal?
I mean, I feel like there's a many-step process that I have vaguely in my head. I'd love to be a label where we can sign bands for a couple records and re-sign bands for even more records, you know, kind of house a band for the span of their career. Mm-hmm. We've moved bands to Triple Crown. We've moved bands to Epitaph. We've moved bands to Rise. So we have a good track record of signing good bands who get good offers with bigger labels and, you know, are continuing success, you know, bands like JD Bone, Save Face, Future Teens. That was the move. I understood my place in like the ecosystem of a label where I didn't want to hold a band back, and we work out whatever we need to do. Either a band fulfills their contract with me, or we somehow work it out with another label. That I just want to just keep on pushing bands, because that, you know, without good bands and bands that want to tour and bands that can be sustainable monetarily, we, you know, our label is nothing.
And you have a gigantic catalog of bands. I mean, you know, you mentioned Snarls, who've been on this podcast, but Fossil Youth, McCafferty's, Save Face, Dead Leaves. I mean, there's a ton of bands. But I read recently you just signed a band called Riverbee. And so I was wondering, how did you find them? Since they're the newest signee, how did you find them and how did you go about fostering a relationship with them?
Oh, that, I mean, James actually sent me the band. He met Sophia, who's the singer guitarist in Riverbee, and they sent James like a demo, or not even a demo. I think it was like this album was getting mixed at the time. Mm-hmm. And James said, check this out. And, you know, I'm going to listen to everything. And at first, I was like, all right, James, I'll take a listen. You know, half the stuff he sends me isn't that great. But another good half I need to dive into and really find out more about the band. So took a listen. I'm like, this song's pretty good. Send me the next song. I got the next song, even better. Next song, even better. And like, oh, this is not even mixed yet. Final product got done. Like, oh, this is this seven song album. There's not one bad song. And Sophia's just so just stands for the right causes, understands what to do with the platform. And we, after, you know, a few conversations, it just made right to do, like, you know, it's not like a long-term deal. It's a short-term deal, but we wanted to get the album out. We wanted to donate the money to charity, the Split Bail Fund, where we could. I'm like, I'm ready to build this band for the next, you know, 2 years. And hopefully in 2 years with this album and another album in, you know, 18 months, then we can do something great. Hopefully, you know, touring's back and we can really rethink of what to do and hopefully, you know, press some cassettes or CD or vinyl with the album. But to me, the seven songs are just undeniable. And it was a no-brainer.
Well, before I want to ask you a couple questions about your own personal taste in music, I do want to just give you a chance. I know you mentioned Riverbee's album. Are there any other releases that are coming out in the next few weeks that you'd like to talk about real quick?
We just did a Snarl Sonderbaum split. They both have their debut LPs out in the past, you know, 12 months. We have Barely Civil's second LP is going to be announced next week. I think a week from today. I'm so excited about the album. They got to record it with Chris Teddy from The World Is a Beautiful Place. And then we have another signing in the summer that's coming out. And then we have, I think we're going to have a Sarah and the Safe Word LP and a Man Dancing LP this year. But we have everything from, you know, Kali Mafi, Sonderbaum's, Bad Luck, some other surprises either in the fall or early next year. It's just really, the schedule is going to depend on touring or what the band wants to do as far as waiting. I'm sitting on a few full lengths and we're just trying to, you know, as a group between the band, myself, their management, their agent, decide when the best time to put the album out is.
So if for those folks that want to keep tabs on everything going on with the label, probably the best place to go is the website, takethistoheartrecords.com.
Yeah. We're always, any decent sized news items in our news section. All the items are always up to date. You know, we have a pretty extensive information on like each band on the roster section. Actually, we're building a new site as we speak. Hopefully it'll be done in the next week or two, which will be a little more intuitive and easier to navigate, along with providing even more information about the band. So you can kind of, I want people to be able to sit at that site and just, you know, read through a bio of a band or, you know, album and be able to listen to it, buy it if they want, or just find out, you know, more about each band.
All right. Well, Joe, let's talk a little bit about you for a moment. Who are some of your favorite bands, favorite musicians?
I grew up a big ska fan in high school. Big ska, like Big in the Kids Table, you know, Catch 22, Hippos, I really love, Springheel Jack. I dived into like Saves the Day, Get Up Kids World. I really love like the Letters to Cleo stuff, Cranberries, you know, 90s rock too. And, you know, then it took me into like the Saddle Creek world of Bright Eyes, Cursive, you know, a little bit harder stuff with like Thursday and Thrice. And now it's really, I'll listen to, you know, like a Charlie Bliss album. And, you know, I'm just listening to the Phoebe Bridgers album earlier today. Really just different sides of anywhere from like emo, indie, folk, rock, pretty all over the place. I'll dive into the pop country of Taylor Swift. if I need to dance. I mean, my friends around here are always listening to that, and it's just grown on me. I'm like, oh, I know every song I know every word to every single Taylor Swift song. How did that happen? Oh, thanks, friends.
Would you say that's your guilty pleasure when it comes to music?
Yeah, I like the pop country stuff. The songwriting's so good and the production's so good. And just the musicianship, any of those people from Nashville is really tight. It's fun to listen to when you're looking at a production standpoint and like any type of like, you know, guitar-based music.
You know, and I think you just mentioned something that I never thought of. I imagine, you know, I'm a layman when it comes to music. You know, I enjoy lots of different genres, lots of different bands. But for you, you probably listen to music a little bit differently sometimes because you're listening for that craftsmanship and that and the structure of things. Am I correct on that or am I
wrong? I love to understand like a band's structure of a song after a listen and, you know, where or what's like how they wrote it. In kind mm-hmm. of even, you know, I produced the first record that I put out on this label too. So just fun. It's just fun to like get in songwriters' heads. And I always kind of bet on the songwriting itself. If bands, if you can probably hear it through a lot of the albums, there's not a lot of, I guess, I hate to use the word fat. There's not a lot of extra stuff on the songs that, you know, you're like, oh, you know, I could cut that part in half on this Riverby song or this Future Team song. You're like, no, that's, they don't really waste space in their songwriting. And that's, I guess, what I'm drawn to. There's not too many in bands that are jammy, like a man dancing. It's more like lyric driven where I'm like, oh, you know, they can play this part four times, but the way his voice changes or the way that these lyrics tell the story is what I'm, you know, drawn to. There's different like aspects of, you know, songwriting that I like and what the purpose of like writing the song is. Not every song needs to be a single. Not every song needs to be this 5-minute epic song either. Sometimes like when a band knows the purpose of what song they're writing, it shows in the song, in the just the structure and the choices of where they put what.
Do you find it sometimes difficult for yourself to just say, I'm in the car, I just want to listen to the music, I don't want to analyze it? Do you find that that's troublesome, or do you feel like you go, I'm at home, I'm just going to chill, I'm just going to listen, rather than being more of that attuned ear, so to speak?
No, I love to be like, that's kind of the stuff where I gravitate to.
Okay.
At first listen, I want to just like enjoy it. I'm like, all right, well, it's not a demo. If someone sends me, hey, here's a demo, or hey, here's a finished album, I want you to give my opinion on, I'll listen to it with a little more constructive thought. But just like when I turn on like the Phoebe Bridgers album, I'm just listening for the pure enjoyment of it. Mm-hmm. I'm not really trying to dissect her choices yet, at least. it's fun. I mean, this the album is the production and just the songwriting, and I think just like the her take on just lyrics today are probably the best part.
So this is a question that I asked, or that we talked about, or I talked about on another podcast. What, as a fan, what was the best concert you ever went to?
Oh gosh,
it was a hard one for me to answer too, because I've been to quite a few. So I kind of went with like the one that, because I think everybody has experienced this. You go to a concert and you're like, I don't know much about the opening band, and then the opening band blows your face off, and you're like, wow, you know. So that's the one I went with. Which, for those listening at home, I picked my experience going to see the first time ever Better Than Ezra, and Eve's Plum was the band that opened for them. That was amazing.
I remember Better Than Ezra from Good. That they did Good,
yes.
Right?
Yes, they did.
I have that CD somewhere. it's sad I only know the one song Good, but I mean, it's probably like a younger like VFW show. Like I've probably seen Biggie and the Kids Table like 200 times. Like I even helped like run merch for them on 2005 Warped Tour. But seeing them, you know, it's probably like actually a show I booked at a local VFW with Biggie and the Kids Table, and it was like the first, like one of the first shows I booked, and it was with I think Step Lively, which turned out to be Edna's Goldfish in the reunion show. I think one of them ended up being the tour manager from Motion City Soundtrack. Like I booked a couple bands, and it was like 7 o'clock. I'm like, this place is empty, this is gonna suck. I'm like, I need to go for a walk. My friends are like, oh, I'm gonna lose so much money on the show. And I come back and it's like 300 people. And that's probably definitely the most memorable experience in music, and like, you know, booking a show and there being a ton of people after you think it's going to be this big failure.
Well, you know what, that kind of leads into my question here of how do you handle success personally, and how do you deal with setbacks?
I like to keep grounded at all times. Like, I still have like a second job where I'm working, you know, 20 to 30 hours a week for some health insurance, where it's just like, you know, it's like a grocery store. It's very easy work. I try to, you know, be good at anything I'm doing. I don't like to think I'm successful at all. That's probably the mindset. And as far as like setbacks, you know, some are devastating and some are, you can pivot on the fly. We've had the band break up right when we're like, oh, LP2 can't wait. The first one was good and the band's gone. Or a band moves to another label and you're like, yeah, you know, we could have done one more and maybe it would have been better for both of us. And it's more or less, you got to kind of roll with the punches. As long as you enjoy what you're doing and everyone's happy in a decision, then you can't get mad.
Well, there you go. Joe, before we plug social media and all that other outlets, anything else you would like to tell the folks that are listening at home?
No, I mean, today is Juneteenth. Go Google it, read more about it, understand what it's about. I've been doing a lot of it myself, and I didn't know as much as I probably should have known. I think if everyone starts learning more about just all the stuff going on in the world, it will be really helpful.
Agreed. Knowledge is king, man.
Yeah, educate yourself as much as you can. You don't need to ask people around you. The internet is at your fingertips. You know, mm-hmm. It's easy to do. There's documentary, you know, check out the 13th on Netflix. It's done really well. And, you know, and I learned a lot in the past, you know, couple months. I want to continue to learn, just like I want to continue, you know, to better be, you know, being at a record label. I guess in life, the goal is to just, you know, learn something new every day.
All right. Well, let's talk about social media accounts where folks can follow the label online, Joe.
Pretty much everything's like / Take This Heart Records, or Twitter's like T3H Records. We're Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, SoundCloud, YouTube. YouTube is always fun. That's YouTube/ T3H Records. We're doing a really cool, really great video. Probably the most innovative video we've done comes out next Thursday with Barely Civil. And I can't really talk about it because it'll give away the concept, but it's done by this great director, Benjamin Lieber, who actually plays in Super American. And I'm excited. Yeah, it's going to be really cool. Check it out Thursday, June 25th.
There you go. I like that tease. Make everybody go to that YouTube page.
The tease thing is easy. Every week on social media, you're like, and coming up next is...
I understand, man. Well, Joe, thanks again so much for taking some time out of your schedule to sit down and chat with me. I really, really do appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I shall be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Joe Urban, talking about Take This to Heart Records and music in general. And I'm just going to repeat that if you want to check out any of the bands or check out any of the music or whatnot, the probably best place to go is the website, which is again www.takethistoheartrecords.com. And it's got all the social media links and all of the band bios and everything else that you might need if you want to check out some of this great music. So once again, that's takethistoheartrecords.com. And now it's time for me to tell you where you can get in touch with me if you have a question, a comment, or a concern about this episode or any episode of the PBD Cast. You can shoot me an email if you like, johnorlando@pbdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PBDMVP. And you can leave me a message over on the Facebook page. That, of course, facebook.com/PVDcast. And I'm even on Instagram. Just search for PVDcast. And if you want to let somebody know about this podcast and where they can hear it, well, there's a lot of different avenues for that as well. First and foremost, PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, is probably the easiest place to get episodes. But it can also be found through a variety of those major podcasting platforms, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Deezer, the iHeartRadio app, radio.com at Google Podcasts. Basically, anywhere you get podcasts, you should be able to find the PVDcast. Just search for PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, PVDcast John Orlando, and you should be able to enjoy the PVDcast. But there's also one final avenue I only need to let you know about. That, of course, is the live Monday night broadcast of this podcast on Redline Radio. And to listen live, all you have to do is go over to RedlineRadioLLC.com or go over to Facebook and look for Redline Radio LLC, or better yet, download the Android app from the Google Play Store, which, of course, is under Redline Radio LLC, and you can hear the PVDcast every Monday night at 9:30 or all of the other great shows and music on the station. So I guess I got all of that out of the way. So I'm going to get on out of here. I thank each and every one of you for listening again. And until next time, I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent. Stay safe and healthy. Has been a production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.